Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In every Moravian church, at this time of the year, you're going to find people talking about John Huss. Now, this has gone on for over 600 years that we have talked about John Huss, so he must be pretty important to have a day set aside for him. And I'd like to tell you a little bit about John Huss. He was born in the 1400s or late 1300s, and he died in 1415 on July 6th. And that's why every year at this time we commemorate his life and death. He was a priest. And at that time, the priesthood was very different than it is now. People who aspired to the priesthood were the nobility, were people who wanted a good living, people who wanted land, people who wanted to be in the upper classes were the ones who aspired to the priesthood, because at that time, church and state were intertwined. Now, any time you have a power base, I don't care how we start out, power corrupts. And absolute power corrupts absolutely. And in that day and age, because there was no difference between the church and state, all those who aspired to the priesthood were really agents of the state. And John Huss really enjoyed his station in life. He was quite a charismatic speaker. And because of that, he was elevated to a gem of a church. He was the rector of Bethlehem Chapel in Prague. That was the chapel associated with the University of Prague. It'd be like somebody today being elevated to the chaplaincy of Harvard. It was that heady of a position. At that time in church history, the Mass was spoken in a different tongue, in Latin. It was not spoken in the language of the people, except at Bethlehem Chapel. He had the privilege of speaking the Mass and speaking his sermons in the language of his people, the Czech people at that time. This was a wonderful place to be for him. Now, of course, being that the state operated the church, wars were fought in the name of Christ. And at one point, the hierarchy thought it would be a splendid, brilliant idea to raise money from the people to fund these wars by selling the forgiveness of sins. Now, because people didn't have a Bible in every hand, they didn't know any better. So when they were told that you could get out of purgatory early by giving more money, well, that was a boon to the coffers of all the churches in the area. And so the wealthy people gave more and more, and the poor people were burdened because they also wanted to get to heaven. And so they gave what they did not have and what they could not afford. And Huss saw this. And he started preaching against it. Now, the minute you call out the powers that be, and especially if you're affecting somebody's pocketbook, you're in deep trouble. And Huss ran afoul of church authorities. And they told him he had to stop. But there was a fire burning within John Huss, and he said, I cannot. So they threw him out. They excommunicated him, thinking that that would stop his message. He went to the countryside and he was preaching. Well, the common people were so grateful to hear God's word, so grateful that they could come to learn about grace in such a different way, that they flocked to hear him. And he was stirring up the common people. So the church authorities and the political authorities invited him to a council. It's kind of like a synod. And they said, Huss, if you would come, we will guarantee your safe passage. We want to hear what you have to say. And his big mistake was he believed them. And he traveled to that conference, the Council of Constance, and he was immediately arrested, put in a dungeon. A year later, he was put on trial. And he was told, if you just say, I was wrong, your life will be spared. And he said, I cannot do that. He refused to do it. And on July 6th, 1415, he was burned at the stake. His ashes were scattered so there would be no remembrance of him. And it immediately started a war. The common people rose up and fought against the system. And those wars, if you look in your history books, are called the Hussite Wars. About 50 years later, a group got together who was tired of war and who looked at the teachings of John Huss and wanted to form a different type of religious fellowship. And those people today are the Moravians. And that's why we celebrate John Huss. Now, I want to tell you that I learned two things from John Huss's life that I want to share with you today. The first is that we are called as Christians to mind other people's business. Now, of course, we're always told, mind your own business. It doesn't mean we're to be busybodies. But to mind other people's business means that if something doesn't affect us, if we are in good shape, if things are going well with us, but we see someone else who's struggling, someone else who's oppressed, that it is up to us to speak out. It's up to us to lift those burdens from off their shoulders. We are called to mind other people's business. And I think of Mike and Brittany as you raise that beautiful little boy. You know he's going to be given every advantage. He has a loving family. You're going to see to his education. You're going to see that he's raised well. And in that raising, I want you to let him know that he is tasked, because he's so blessed, to mind other people's business. And when he sees oppression, when he sees something wrong, to call it out and to lift people up. Huss did not have to say a word. In fact, all those extra offerings could line his pocket. I'm sure they gave the local pastors a kickback. To speak out was not in his benefit to do, but he was a follower of Jesus, and he knew he had to speak out. The second thing I learned was from our scripture verse today, when it says, God is not mocked, for you reap whatever you sow. Usually we see that in a negative context, don't we? We say, well, you know, what goes around comes around. If you do bad stuff, you're going to get bad things. But if you read the rest of that verse, it's talking about positive things. It says, if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life in the Spirit. Let us not grow weary in doing what is right. Huss did not grow weary in doing what is right. When he got kicked out of the church, he did not grow weary. When he was sent to that trial, he did not grow weary. When the flames were licking up his body, they said he sang his way into eternity. He might not have reaped a good life here, but what has he reaped in his death and in his faithfulness? We are here today because of John Huss. But not only that, all of Christendom owes a debt of gratitude to Huss, because we find now, and in the ages since he's died, that we are not people that must be afraid of an angry God and have to buy an angry God off, but that we serve a God of love and a God of grace, and a God who loves us so much that all the gifts that we have are freely given to us. That's the God we serve, and we owe that to Master Huss and to his witness. He reaped eternal life for so many that have come after him. For centuries, the church has reaped the benefits because of John Huss. So this week, I want you to find someone and mind their business. I want you to take care of somebody who's in need. And I want you always to remember that even when it seems that the good we do means absolutely nothing to the people around us, that if we do not give up, we will reap at harvest time. That's the message that God is giving to us this day. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you especially for the new life that we have. We thank you for the life you've given to Keel. We ask that he will grow up in the blessings of his home and his extended family to know that he must give to others, that his life matters. We thank you for this, and we ask that you would help us this week to mind somebody else's business. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you turn with me to our communion service? This service today is a little different from the ones we've had before. In the service, as we're serving communion, we ask that you meditate on the hymns that the organist will play. We also, during our service, we shake hands twice. The first time is to signify our oneness in Christ, and the second time is to encourage each other to go out and be God's servants. So if you want to say on the first handshake, peace, and the second time, maybe mind somebody else's business. We want to get that message across. This is an open communion. If whatever church you're from, wherever you are from, you are welcome to join us at the Lord's table. We ask that if you want to receive communion, that you stand when the servers come. And if you prefer not to receive communion, you just remain seated. Let us stand together. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, be with you all. For your sacrifice for us. We thank you for the free gift of eternal life, which is for all who call to you. We ask that you would bless this time of worship as we come to you in Jesus' name. Amen.